Okay, good morning. We are going to go ahead and call this meeting to order for the regular scheduled meeting of the Las Vegas Valley Water District Board of Directors for March 4th, 2025. We'll first start with the invocation by Reverend Stacy Hilton with the Las Vegas Center for Spiritual Living, and then we'll go ahead to the pledge. Good morning.
Good morning. So if it's comfortable for each one here, please close or lower your eyes and just take a deep breath in, allowing yourself to be fully present now, allowing whatever has gone on prior to this moment to be right there where it is in the past, and that which is going to be happen in this meeting to be right where it is. And so I'm just knowing that there's just one thing happening here, that one presence, that one essence, that one source. Call it what you will. Divine intelligence, universe, spirit, perfection. That which breathes each and every one of us. And so what I know right here and right now is that I am one with that source, that essence, that infinite intelligence, the universe. And because I'm one with it, I'm knowing that it is peace and joy and abundance and beauty and order and light and life itself. It is pure love. And I am made in that essence. And because that is my truth, it is the truth of each and every person in this room and beyond. It's who each of us is. And so I know and declare that this meeting moves with divine perfection. And each and every person that needs to expresses with clarity and brevity, and that they are heard. They're heard from a place of love and compassion. I know that this meeting goes smoothly, without a hitch, that all that needs to be authorized, approved, and accepted is done so. That the business is perfect. It runs so smoothly. It is with ease and grace. Each and every person walks out of here just jumping for joy for such a beautiful meeting. And so I'm just so grateful. Grateful for all of those here that care about this city. Grateful for each one of these board of directors, these commissioners. Grateful for Las Vegas itself. Grateful for it all. And for that, I just say thank you, thank you, thank you. And together we say amen.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this is the first time set aside for public comment on the Las Vegas Valley Water District agenda items. So if you have any comments, please come forward and state and spell your name for the record.
Good morning, Commissioners. Laura McSwain, MCSWAIN, with the Water Fairness Coalition. I'm here on agenda item number 1 and 2. The minutes of the January 21st, 25 meeting are lacking in detail and failed to illustrate the charade that occurred during that meeting's initial public comment. Representatives from Vegas Chamber, Nevada Resorts Association, Latin Chamber of Commerce, Nevada Conservation League, and others came out to speak on agenda item 13. When Diane Henry brought up concerns about initial public comments being available only for agenda items and general public comments at the end of the meeting, President Kirkpatrick indicated that the speakers were there to comment on item 13, so it was allowed. There was only one problem. There was no supporting documentation provided to the public in advance of the meeting. How would they have known? What special insight to the agenda that was denied the general public in advance of the meeting was given to this specific group of speakers? We are still waiting for the agenda promised by President Kirkpatrick during the December 2024 meeting that would include the hard decisions that she faced during private meetings related to the adoption of the one-size-fits-all excessive use penalties. On agenda item number 2, the WFC objects to the revenue sources identified for the funding of the Water Smart Rebate Program, particularly the $2 subsidy coming from the district's excessive use charge penalties. It's inappropriate for multiple reasons. First, the use of the excessive use charge penalties in this manner exceeds their original intent as described when the rules change was adopted. During the September 6th 2022 meeting that included the review of the business impact statement, it was stated that the money would be placed into the financial reserve fund from the business impact study. The statements I will include in my submitted documents. Allowed expenditures for such funds are as follows: operating and maintenance expenses, debt service, capital needs, emergency responses. Second, any public money, taxpayer, or ratepayer should not be subsidizing artificial turf without the materials being vetted specifically so that they do not add to the community's heat island. These materials range in temperature during the summer months of 165 to 185 degrees, as illustrated with the second degree burns that were the football team at Spanish Hills endured last summer. They must be tested for toxicity and PFAS and not allowed if either are present. With recycling, Southern Nevada has a 135-year water supply. The excessive use charge penalties should be suspended and returned to the residents with the full accounting that has been promised by both Commissioners Jim Gibson and Marilyn Kirkpatrick going back to May of 2024. Thank you for your time. And I do have my grant.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good morning. Pete Foley, Fernbrook Road, Las Vegas. I'm going to talk on item two as well and the additional funding for plastic grass. Echoing some of what was just said, a time where our community is facing record temperatures during the summer and record heat-related deaths, so this is not trivial, this is important. We're funding the removal of our most effective calling mechanism for our environment. So I'm not saying it's entirely wrong. I understand the need to save water, but there's been no effective environmental assessment of how the mass removal of our most efficient calling mechanism and its replacement by a heating mechanism, plastic grass, is affecting our environment. And these heat island effects are very, very real and very important. I mean, not only does this grass and the heat islands directly impact our temperatures and therefore indirectly affect things like heat-related deaths, but they also indirectly do it because once you put a heat island in place, it actually blocks our summer monsoons from moving into the valley. It acts like a static area of high pressure. So where we used to get call-in, and you might remember rain, we used to get that at the end of summer. We didn't this year. And I'm not saying it's the only reason, but part of the reason is because we create these heat islands. These heat islands require our vegetation to need more water. So we create this vicious cycle where we're just making our environment more deadly. So I think that's the one thing I really think you need to have a discussion about before you carry on doing more of this. And the second thing, and I know, Commissioner Kirkpatrick, you don't like this, but one of the things with leadership is you should never ask people to do what you're not willing to do yourself. And, you know, we know that you've got grass front and back. I don't know about the other commissioners, but you're really pushing our community to lose its access to grass and the benefits it brings, but you're not willing to do it yourselves, and I think that's morally wrong. It's like the water penalties we're talking about as well. You know, it impacts large sections of our community in Clark County, but at least three, maybe four of the commissioners aren't in areas where they get hit with these fines. So it's just fundamentally wrong. So I'd ask you to really reconsider, or at least avoid the sort of Marie Antoinette let them eat cake sort of scenarios where if you're asking the people of Clark County to do things, please be willing to do them yourselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. If we could refrain from clapping, that would be great.
Diane Henry, H-E-N-R-Y. On item number two, with your excessive policies, you continue to promote what seems to be the removal of every bit of grass in the valley. And I also have an issue with using unfairly and selectively charged excessive use penalties to incentivize this. After AB 356, you didn't stop with just the removal of non-functional turf and prohibiting all grass in new residential development. A huge amount of grass is also being torn out of our parks and schools. School athletic fields are being replaced with plastic turf, which gets hotter than asphalt, emits microplastics, toxic chemicals, unhealthy substrates, and is unforgiving as a playing surface. It needs to be hosed off, cooled down, cleaned, and disinfected, which negates a large amount of the water savings you claim. According to Dr. Kelly Kopp, a noted agronomy specialist and professor at Utah State University, natural turf grass has very good and healthful effects. It cleans the air, producing oxygen, sequestering carbon. A 5,000 square foot lawn produces enough oxygen each day to support between 14 and 34 people. Grass captures and suppresses dust and can help reduce allergies, filters out pollutions, prevents wind erosion, minimizes air pollution, increases water percolation, and reduces stormwater runoff and soil erosion. Grass is a natural fire barrier. It preserves wildlife habitat and healthy soil. It's a durable ground cover that's visually appealing and promotes community and outdoor activity. Cool grass absorbs noise and cuts energy costs. And most importantly, in Las Vegas, the second fastest warming city in the country, grass reduces the heat island effect by dissipating heat and cooling the air and soil. In a recent study by Clemson University with an air temperature of 94 degrees, artificial turf reached 165 degrees. What could be more harmful to our rising temperatures than to remove as much natural grass as possible? I can't think of anything. Put a $5 a foot bounty on grass and more mature trees die. Temperatures are soaring, so you hand out free saplings, and in 20 years they may provide some shade. This makes no sense. To conserve water and keep our temperatures livable, why not promote cool season and water-efficient types of grass and the oasis concept of small areas of grass for green space, cooling, and recreation? Thank you.
If I could ask everybody to refrain from clapping, that'd be great. Next speaker, please.
Yes, my name is Ed Yulin. I'm talking about item number three. Or number four, that the water authority is actually going to borrow against us, against the public, $500 million for what? The 2021 Citizens Committee that said we should do all these things. There's no indication which of the projects. There were about 20 projects that were supposed to be done. There's no indication here of what projects are being financed with this money. The Water Authority already owes billions of dollars, in spite of having the highest rates of water in the country. They always claim that, oh, we have cheap water. No, our water bill is 85% issues that have nothing to do with water, that are artificially created. It's just inexcusable what's happening. You have the highest wages in the country. If you divide the amount spent for wages by the number of employees, it comes out to about $1,000 per day per employee of this organization, and you just keep coming. You keep coming at us with actually borrowing money when you already have so much money.
Mr. Yulin, could I ask, can you get back to the $2 a square foot that you're concerned about?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Okay, that's the item that you asked to speak on, so can you get back to that, please?
That's right.
Okay.
That you're borrowing money in addition to charging these incredible rates, in addition to tearing up the grass all over the county in order to provide water for the Hughes Corporation, 40,000 gallons per month per house that they're building, and they're building thousands of houses. You're impacting the health of the entire county. You're now kids are playing football on artificial grass that reaches a temperature of 145 degrees. It's not healthy, it's dangerous, and it's absolute waste.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during public comment? Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close the public comment and turn it over to Mr. Ensminger.
Good morning, Madam President, members of the board. The agenda has been properly noticed and posted and is ready for your approval, along with the minutes of your regular meeting of January 21st, 2025.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion if there's no comments or questions.
I move approval of the agenda and the minutes.
I have a motion by Commissioner Gibson to approve item number one, which is comprised of the agenda and the minutes for January 21st, 2025. Seeing no other discussion, please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
Item number two, ask the Board of Directors to authorize an additional rebate of $2 per square foot for single family residential district customers for each square foot of grass converted through the Southern Nevada Water Authority's Water Smart Landscapes rebate program. The genesis of this extra $2 is the state of Nevada had given the Southern Nevada Water Authority a grant at the beginning of last year that allowed us to take the $3 per square foot rebate to $5 per square foot valley-wide. So regardless of jurisdiction, that was within Water District, North Las Vegas, Henderson, but we have now committed all of those funds. But the program was successful enough that we saw the highest ever number of single family applications for the Water Smart Landscape program in the history of the program last year. But we have just this year, since the funds have been committed, seen a significant drop off. We saw less than a third of the applications in January that we saw in December. So we would like to maintain that $2 per square foot topper for district customers, which is over 70% of the retail customers, in order to maintain that program and keep it moving forward. I would note this applies only to single family residential. This isn't schools or parks or businesses. This is purely voluntary for homeowners to apply to the program and get these funds. I would also note that program requirements include that 50% of the converted area be vegetation at maturity, and that includes $100 extra per tree, which trees are far and away the most effective tool against combating the urban heat island effect. And that there is no requirement within the program for homeowners to install artificial turf. That is purely a decision for individual homeowners to make.
Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions?
The source of the dollars, Madam President, the source of the dollars, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, so the source of the dollars are from what we previously committed to the Board of Directors, that all excess use charges would be segregated and used exclusively for conservation initiatives, and this fits squarely within that previous commitment.
Okay, anybody else have any comments or questions? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion.
If there are none, Madam President, I move approval.
I have a motion by Commissioner Gibson to approve item number two. And I don't see any other discussion. Please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
Item number three, ask the Board of Directors to adopt, approve, and authorize a resolution that allows the general manager or his designee to place insurance coverage and pay annual insurance premiums in an amount not to exceed $5 million for the efficient administration of the district's risk management and insurance program. The reason we're bringing this forward is because with events like we saw with the California fires, with Superstorm Sandy, these big natural disaster events cause a ripple effect through the national insurance industry. And as a result of that, our risk management department is often negotiating our premiums on these policies until as few as 10 days before we need to execute them in order to maintain our insurance coverage. So that obviously creates a bit of a conundrum in terms of being able to bring a 30-day notice to the board and be able to get those scheduled. So we're asking for that delegation. I believe that there won't be any difference in the overall cost. Our risk management department negotiates very hard for the very best premiums that we could get. So regardless of whether we were bringing that premium renewal before the board or whether I'm signing it, I think it'll be the exact same cost to the district.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Commissioner Now.
Thank you, Madam President. I understand why this is necessary. I would just ask that notification be provided to the board when this authority is exercised.
Absolutely. We can provide a report as the renewals occur to each board member.
Works for me. If there's...
If I just... And then following that formally, you'd come back to the extent that you exercise that authority, and we would ratify that action in a public meeting. Is that what you're suggesting, or are you saying that the threshold is low enough in each case that there would be... it would fall within your authority?
I don't believe, I'll turn to Greg if he wants to correct me, but if executing the premium requires ratification, it is not at that point contractually binding and we could see a lapse in coverage. So I do need the delegation of authority to execute the premiums and be contractually binding and then provide the after report as Commissioner Naft suggests.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I move approval.
Okay, Commissioner Naft has made a motion to approve item number 3. I don't see any other comments or questions. Please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
Item number 4, asks the Board of Directors to adopt a resolution providing the issuance of general obligation bonds additionally secured by the Southern Nevada Water Authority pledged revenues in the maximum principal amount of $472,100,000 and providing certain details in connection therewith. The first thing I would say is this has been before the board several times. It was first brought before this board in June of 2024. It was before the DMC and approved by the DMC in July of 2024. There was a public hearing in September of 2024 and a 90-day petition period following that public hearing under which we received no comments. Secondly, the major capital program that these funds support was approved not only by the Southern Nevada Water Authority's board, but by this board, by the Henderson City Council, by the Boulder City City Council, and the North Las Vegas City Council. So 27 elected officials have voted in favor of the capital plan that these funds are going to support. As to the ERPAC process, the Citizens Advisory Committee that recommended moving forward with the capital plan, they voted unanimously in favor of a funding formula that would fund between 50 and 75% through the sale of bonds and between 25 and 50% through PAYGO with cash on hand available to the water authority. So this has all been, 5 years in the making. And the projects are nearing completion of their design, most particularly the Apex Water and Wastewater project is probably first in the queue as to what's going to begin moving forward with actual construction, and that is the underlying need to proceed with this bond sale.
Okay, any comments or questions? I've seen this at least myself 3 times, so... All right.
I move approval, Madam President.
I have a motion by Commissioner Gibson. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, please cast your vote. And that motion passes.
And that concludes your posted agenda.
Okay. This is the second time set aside for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak on any Las Vegas Valley Water District items, please come forward and state and spell your name for the record.
Hello, yeah, my name is Ed Ulin. I don't think the Apex project was even included among the 20 recommendations of ERPAC in 2021. There was a cross-lateral project that was the most costly, and as far as I've ever heard anything discussed in these meetings, the only thing that's actually happened is a building was built that was supposed to house, a building was built in the where the Water Authority has their offices or their functions on the side of the mountain, was built to house the administration of this project. But no mention was made of the Apex project. And so are we being told that that project cost $500 million? This organization needs to bring additional water into the valley. All it's doing is transferring water from one group of people in the valley to another, to developers, basically. And that process is very limited. And unfortunately, this organization has always chosen the worst course of action in order to deal with this, which is to put additional, in order to build all these additional houses and provide the 40,000 gallons of water, that's an acre and a half, an acre foot and a half of water per year per house that is given to the Hughes Corporation, for example. In order to do that, all the warehouse people have to get rid of their system of air conditioning. The public is constantly faced with additional requirements of use of water and restrictions on that. Kids, as I said earlier, are forced to play on these very dangerous fields that are totally different from grass and considered dangerous for the whole world. These plastics that are going into the air and into the bloodstream of every living creature on Earth. It's dangerous. It's foolish. It's a waste of money, and I can't believe that one project cost $500 million.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Yes, my name is Sharon Seeley. I live at
6475. Can I get you to, you got to get a little closer to that microphone because I could barely hear you.
My name is Sharon Seeley. I live at 6475 Darby Avenue. I have many concerns. I'm concerned for excess water charges. I'm concerned for all the trees and plants that are dying because we're not allowed enough water to maintain them. I'm concerned that we're encouraged to rip out our grass that adds oxygen and cooling to the atmosphere. And if the grass is under trees, it is supporting the tree. My biggest concern is with artificial turf. It is adding to the heat, but also emitting chemicals that are impacting our children's lives. All the data shows the dangers of artificial turf to our atmosphere and children. Last year, we had 5 straight months of excessive heat, and we're also in a drought condition. In the RJ this morning, it said February was hotter and drier than normal. What are we facing this summer? Is ripping out grass, dying trees, artificial turf adding to the heat and drought we are experiencing? My concern is with the county commissioners and the water board, who have access to all the data and experts telling them the damage that artificial turf causes, especially to our children, and yet they allow artificial turf. My concern is that the county commissioners and water board are not serious in doing what is right for the citizens of Las Vegas, and especially for our children.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hey, good morning. Terry O'Rourke, 2000 Palm Canyon. Thank you to Becker, Naft, and McCurdy, because you three seem to be paying attention to what the speakers are saying. I'd wonder if we could ask for John Ensminger to turn around so he can look at the people
if you could direct your comments to us, please.
But also to Mr. Ensminger. He just said that the rebate money came from a state of Nevada grant, which is our taxpayer money. The other money comes from ratepayer fees, which is our money. So those people who are doing smart water changes to their landscaping are actually getting their money back, a small percentage of their money back. If that's incorrect, please let me know that. The advertisements on TV indicate that the smart water conservation landscape includes turf, plastic grass. That's what the advertisements show us. But he just said that the water district isn't promoting that. So it's a little confusing being a consumer and a payer of these excessive rates that you guys are charging. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Laura Bautista from Henderson, Nevada. I'm here again to speak about the career of a 15-year employee, a man whose dedication and experience were unwavering. His performance reviews, documented by three separate supervisors, reflect his outstanding contributions. These reviews contain not one single negative comment about this man. 15 years. Here's some examples. Justin exemplifies the district's values and conducts himself in a truly professional manner. Justin can be relied on to maintain the highest ethical behavior. Justin, as an effective, high-performing supervisor, his crew's performance remains excellent. His focus on long-term improvements and reliability is a great value to the district. And under his leadership, the booster crew has identified and implemented numerous system and equipment improvements, resulting in cost savings, extended asset life, efficiency, and safety enhancements. Despite this impeccable record, he was abruptly perp walked out without a single prior disciplinary action, not one verbal or written warning in 15 years. Yet the district's outside attorney has dismissively last week referred to this situation as garden variety. Meanwhile, the requested 30-day extension for settlement discussions is what he requested, only to hand it off to yet another outside attorney at the expense of the ratepayers. According to your outside legal counsel, the following actions are considered garden variety at the Las Vegas Valley Water District. Zero progressive discipline, terminating an employee without prior warnings or corrective action, hiring multiple firms, one to investigate HR's conduct, another to defend the district, a director illegally recording an employee's phone call and submitting it to HR, placing multiple employees on 15 weeks of paid administrative leave while manufacturing reasons for termination, twisting testimony, omitting key evidence, and misrepresenting facts to build a case against a dedicated employee, more than one. All of this is what your council considers garden variety, and this board has completely lost sight of integrity and accountability. I hope you recognize this as an opportunity to do the right thing, but if you choose to ignore it, then you have no business sitting in those seats. Since my concerns have been repeatedly dismissed because, like, shoo, why, I have yet to receive any real answers. I am filing complaints with multiple state and federal agencies and pursuing criminal charges for illegal wiretapping. I will be filing complaints with the Nevada Attorney General, Nevada Ethics Commission for fraudulent misrepresentation and exploring legal action for defamation. Okay, can I finish? Those responsible must be held accountable. I truly hope that in the future, when questions of ethics, law, and integrity arise, this board will remember its duty and act before another dedicated employee and his family are subjected to 10 months of unnecessary suffering. I trust that the external authorities will step in where this board has failed.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Wow, Diane Henry, H-E-N-R-Y. I'm wondering, is your projector working this morning? If I put something here. It's a copy of the latest ad from your website, and I'm running low on blue ink. It's usually much more eye-catching than that, but from March through April, mandatory watering restrictions require watering no more than 3 days a week. But your latest ads about this, which are pretty much everywhere on your website, TV, smartphones, Facebook, Instagram, and Nextdoor, are very misleading. You're announcing that the spring watering schedule up to 3 days a week is now in effect. But your ad says water plants and trees up to 2 days a week. Then in small print, it says still got grass, water grass up to 3 days a week. If you're trying to create confusion so people believe they can only water 2 days a week, then your ad will likely be successful. Many people will think that if they water more than that, you'll send them a dreaded violation warning or the water police. But your regulations actually allow up to 3 days a week if needed. Most potted plants and gardens, I know mine, can't survive on twice weekly once the temperatures begin to climb. And hand watering is very difficult and tedious. Your ad seems very misleading, especially with the large words below the 2 days a week on your website that says mandatory watering schedule. Thank you. I'd like to submit this.
You can leave that. He'll grab it for you. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Yeah, Pete Foley again. Let me move that up a little bit. So I think the first thing I'd like to start with is just the staggering lack of transparency and accountability of the water districts. We just heard there with word mongering and sleight of hand with the marketing that says one thing in big letters and there's the small print underneath. From a public organization, that is not the way you should be communicating to people. It should be honest and transparent. But it goes much deeper than that. We all remember, probably about this time last year, Mr. Entsminger made a commitment to come back to this board with an accounting of the now probably more than $50 million in penalties. And that just hasn't happened. I mean, he just referenced that he's doing what he's doing with some of that money, but we were promised an accounting of all of it, and it hasn't happened. And I haven't heard any of the board of directors hold him accountable for not doing what was committed. Then at the end of last year, Commissioner Kirkpatrick, you said that at the beginning of this year, there would be a full and, I can't remember your exact words, but there would be a detailed discussion around the challenge of managing growth and also the penalties that are being imposed selectively on the people of Clark County. That hasn't happened either. And then in the comments prior to this meeting today, I think everybody mentioned the issues with Heat Island effect in some form or another. And certainly one of the people who spoke gave some really good information around the dangers of that and how that is promoted by the current process of replacing grass. But nobody even mentioned it in the discussion. It just got rubber stamped yet again. And I just find this so, as a board, you should be pushing these questions and asking these questions, especially when there are contradictions. Yes, there is a contradiction between growth and water usage. But as Mr. Ulin said, the current process is really basically to take water from existing residents and give it to developers. And by the way, in the process of doing that, sucking millions of dollars out of our economy in fines and penalizing specific people in specific areas, especially large families and people who live in areas with older houses. So I'm just so disappointed. I think we need a lot more accounting of how this water department works. And we need you guys to ask the questions, because we stand up here at the end and ask questions, and then we leave, and nobody ever takes any notice of them again. And this has been going on for years, so it's just very disappointing. So thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Is there anyone else that wants to speak afterwards? Okay, Ms. McSwain, we'll make you our last speaker.
Thank you. Laura McSwain again for the record with the Water Fairness Coalition. I have some extras besides what was for the record for any of you that are interested. It's a series of documents that kind of support our new mission, which is grass under trees is functional. We want to save our urban forest. And I need to comment on Mr. Ensminger's statement that the most effective tool is this $100 for a tree versus a bush. The most effective tool for helping heat mitigation is the protection of our mature existing landscaping, our mature urban forest. The documents that I've provided to you outlines the importance of the grass and the tree relationship. I also included some letters. Actually, one of the benefits of having this organization is that people find me and people are coming together, and a lot of people that know way more than I do about water and law, and water law in particular, have made themselves available to me. So I included two letters. One, it was an exchange between Representative Bronson Mack, Las Vegas Valley Water District Outreach Manager, and Mr. Engelbretson, who was representing Desert Shores. And it's worth reading. I don't have time to go through it here. But what's really interesting is that Mr. Bronson Mack talks about how they put together the NTRAC committee to actually scrutinize very carefully the rules that determined what was going to be considered non-functional turf. Well, here's the problem. I think that several of you are lawyers, and I think that there's a concept called legislative intent. And I've got a section here that discusses that. During the testimony, during AB 356 in 2021, Assemblyman Watts, he's quoted as saying that this bill is not intended to target common areas in communities. Common areas in these communities are considered functional turf. Green spaces in multifamily developments are not being addressed in this bill. Medians and other areas serving no purposes are addressed by the provisions of this bill. Yet, we are going into existing residential neighborhoods and we are destroying the mature landscaping, the microbiome. We are accelerating our heat trajectory. And it's worth noting that Assemblyman Watts also serves on the Citizen Advisory Committee for the Las Vegas Valley Water District. So I think legislative intent should matter, and NTRAC should be reestablished and revisit all of this. Regarding the excessive use charges, it doesn't matter whether it's AB 356 or making it unaffordable. The grass under the trees is essential to our protecting our urban forests. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Go ahead and close public comment, Mr. Ensminger.
That concludes your posted agenda.
Okay, this is our posted agenda, and we are now adjourned. For those of you in the audience, it'll take about 10 minutes, and we'll transfer over to the Board of County Commission meeting. Thank you.